Back for another week this week, another busy week for the Missouri Senate. One of the things that the Senate took part in this week, last week was State of the State, this week the State of the Judiciary.
Yes, that's right. It hasn't been too many years, and I didn't check to see when we actually began to do the State of the Judiciary. The legislature decided a few years ago that we wanted to hear from the judiciary each year and get a status. And at one point, we also wanted to hear from MoDOT each year. And I think we finally found that those were pretty unappealing deliveries. And so we stopped that. Although with the things going on with roads and bridges now, it might be a good time to look back and see if we wanted those. But the State of the Judiciary, I thought, was very well done this year. It many times is well done. And I was particularly attentive to it this year because our new Chief Justice, Patricia Breckenridge, is one of my constituents. She's from Nevada, the town where I grew up. Her husband, Brian, played football with my younger brother. And, you know, I have a kind of some heritage with Judge Breckenridge and was trying to be particularly attentive to how well she did, both in content and also just in delivery. I thought she did very well. I thought she represented her family and her community and her branch of government very well. She was pretty pithy in her comments. She was specific about reforms that the courts are working toward and about the problems they have to deal with. So I thought it was an excellent presentation on the judicial system and was glad that I could say that she's a friend of mine and is a constituent of mine.
Also this week, I believe the rule is a 30-day time frame in terms of getting gubernatorial appointments from the previous interim either approved or disapproved by the gubernatorial appointment committee. And it seems every year when it comes up on that last week, we saw it this year as well, there's a lot of names on that list. I think it was 31 appointees that the committee had to consider this time.
That's right. It appears that the governor has decided to go ahead and fill some of these positions that have been languishing, some of them for years, without appointees, and suddenly we're starting to see some of these boards and commissions and committees filled up. We did hear from, I didn't count them, but I'll take your word for the 31. It was a large number. We made it through them more quickly than I thought. Most of them were voted out of the gubernatorial appointments committee the day that we heard them. A couple were held back because some of us had some questions about whether they either were the appropriate appointees or whether we just wanted to know a little more before voting on them. But one of the things that is always, I guess, kind of a chagrin to me is when we see some of the what appear to be somewhat frivolous committees and commissions and boards that we have. It's fairly well known that most of these are turf war type commissions and appointments and boards, is that this group or that group wants to exclude some other, I guess, competition, and so they get their own boards and commissions to review everybody and make sure that they all do things alike. I acknowledge that there are times that that's important, but there are also other times when it really is just a matter of trying to protect more of a monopolistic perspective on a profession. But we heard from folks who are supposed to be protecting the public from misbehavior by translators. We heard from folks that are supposed to be protecting the public from misbehavior in terms relative to organ donation. And I mean, some of these things, when you look at them, it's hard to envision just exactly what kinds of issues they might deal with as a committee or a commission. Now, we also have appointees to boards of curators for the universities across our state. And we try to look at those especially hard to make sure that those positions are filled. Most of those boards, or many of them at least, are what we call partisan boards. Whenever we get a lot of those, it's imperative on us to do as much research as possible to check these out, because I do think that is, even though I speak disparagingly sometimes on how many of these commissions and boards and committees that we have, I do take that responsibility very seriously, the responsibility that the Senate has to either confirm or deny those appointments. But the governor, because he did so many in the interim, you're right, we have but 30 days to review all of those. If we don't get those appointments reviewed, just for the public's knowledge, is that the governor has to pull them back and reappoint them. Otherwise, he loses the opportunity to appoint those people to those positions. There are times whenever we just simply can't get them all done, and our Senate leadership will give him a list of those that we're not going to be able to reach, and he'll pull those appointments back and then reappoint them during session, and then we don't have that 30-day deadline. We can take the rest of the session if we need to get to those appointments and to thoroughly vet them and then to either confirm or deny. deny them.
Also this week, some activity on the Senate floor. One of the bills heard, and at least as we talk now, given preliminary approval, is Senate Bill 572, which is a follow-up to a bill that became law last year in Senate Bill 5.
That's exactly right. We had some problems across the state, especially in the St. Louis area, where it was clear that law enforcement agencies were basically using their powers to develop revenue streams with citations. And I won't get into those numbers, you know, partly because I don't remember all the numbers from last year, but lots and lots of numbers that would be just beyond the imagination of most of us in terms of how much of a community's revenue is derived from giving moving vehicle traffic violations, tickets. It was discovered in the meantime, since that time, that some of these same communities are doing exactly the same thing with non-moving violations, with zoning regulations. We heard reports of folks who were cited because they would have more than three people around a barbecue grill in their front yard and anything other than a federal holiday. We heard of citations that were given because the curtains didn't match in the front windows because grass is too tall. You know, and some of these, you know, neighbors or friends might be able to acknowledge are reasonable, but many of them, probably most of them, are not. And once again, we discovered that in these jurisdictions, the use of citations, in this case, non-vehicular citations, was being used as a revenue stream. And so what Senator Schmidt is trying to do is to add those citations to the same regulations that were placed on moving violations. It'll be one of those circumstances where we have the usual suspects. I mean, there'll be the same people who are for it, the same people who are against it, and it'll be kind of the same fight over again, except hopefully by now there have been enough adjustments into any mismanagement of law enforcement that there won't be as many in opposition. And this will rein in some communities that simply are abusing their citizens or citizens from around surrounding communities because they can and because they have the authority to do so.
Does this kind of fall under the same logic of criminals break laws? It seems to be the law-abiding who get hurt by some regulations and or laws where, let's say this goes through and the same cities that have done what they've done find another way around things. We get to a point to where the state might start to over-regulate law-abiding cities just because of maybe four or five that refuse to play by the rules.
Sure, absolutely. And I mean, I am already getting some pushback from some communities in my district because they feel like we're already there, that we're already doing that, that they're trying to use law enforcement properly, but might be close to some of these lines. And that's one of the reasons that there was lots of negotiation, lots of debate over where that line should be, how it should be drawn. One of the problems with doing things by legislation is we do have to draw black lines. You know, we do have to say, well, 20% is the number, or 15%, or 5%, or 25%. And then everybody has to abide by that number. Government is a one-size-fits-all type of operation. And so you're right. There is always that danger of over-restriction from the state level. And certainly if every one of us was of high moral character and we all did exactly the right things at the right time, we would need fewer laws, fewer regulations, and we would get along much better as neighbors.